Okay, we got just enough time for the 12th key, which is, well, I've given this out once before at a gathering, and it was kind of out of order, but I thought it was pretty interesting to talk about. The 12th key is, the Word is God. Now, that's an exact quote from the first chapter of John. It says, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay? And then it indicates that Christ was the Word. And the Word has, it says, has created all things that there is. And this goes along with the teachings of the East and the Hindus and the Buddhists, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word, and they, a lot of them teach that it was like the sacred word in vibration, and it created everything there is. So God spoke, and that vibration was set in motion, and that vibration created the whole universe. Okay? So that's interesting that God spoke a word, and the word created everything there is. Now, many people believe this basic idea. People in the esoteric world believe this basic idea. Even the Christians believe this basic idea because it's in the Bible. But one thing that's overlooked is the Word is expressed in hundreds and thousands of different varieties. There are all kinds of words, aren't there? Like, we pick on Asaph again. And his name, what does your name mean, Asaph, in Hebrew?
A gatherer, a collector.
A collector?
A gatherer. One, okay. One who gathers scattered things. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, Asaph is a word. It means a gatherer or a collector. And that word is also God. In other words, every word that can be spoken is a God. Has the power of God. Has the power of creation. So how is it that some words, when they're spoken, seem to have tremendous power, and other words don't? Jesus said to the person needed healed, your sins are forgiven, and he accepts that, and he is healed. He is healed because the word that Jesus spoke was like, you could look at them as miniature gods with all power. Power to fulfill their meaning. Okay? He speaks, and they have power to fulfill their meaning, and the guy gets healed. Now, somebody else speaks, your sins are forgiven, and the person will say, you're crazy, and he's not healed. What's the difference? Same words, different effect.
Listen and believing, it makes it so.
That's certainly part of it. The believing makes it so. Any other comment?
Well, the power of the one who says the word.
That's a good part of it. Any other views?
The energy, the thought behind the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. The intention.
Right.
How the word is spoken.
Words are symbols of something. They aren't what they, it's not the word itself, it's what it represents.
Okay. Now, has anyone here had a revelation about, say, who the, I think Susan was telling us she had a revelation about who you're supposed to marry, right?
Right.
Okay. Did you believe that?
Very much so.
You accepted it?
Yep.
Why?
Because I knew what this spirit of revelation felt like.
Yeah.
And, so.
And you trusted it 100%, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you incorporated it into your makeup, right?
Right.
So that word that was spoken to you was like the word of God, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right. And so she completely accepted it. The word, which was God, went into Susan, and then it happened. Okay. Now, what if Darren over here told you, Susan, you're going to divorce Michael next week? What would you accept that? Well, why wouldn't you accept that? You accepted this other thing. Why wouldn't you accept that?
Doesn't have the right vibration to it.
Right. It doesn't have the right. You didn't accept it as the word of God, right?
He was just
speaking off the cuff. He was just making a joke, maybe. Okay. So, Darren's word was did not materialize. So it's interesting, you can have the same word given to two different people from two sources. One will be the word of God, the word which is God. The other will be a word that dissipates, okay, and has no meaning. So think, if you woke up in the morning and an angel was standing there at your feet, and it says, go forth and declare such and such to be true. Declare to the world that there will be a famine in the land, okay? And what would you think? An actual angel being from the other spheres appearing at your bed giving you a message. Are you going to take that seriously? What would you think?
Enter my room without permission. Get out.
Right. So the angel represents God. His word gets implanted in you, and even whether it makes sense or not, because you accept it as being from God, you go with it and you make it happen. Okay? The word is God. But the word is only God if the word is implanted. Once a word is implanted, then that word will grow. Now, you had something, Darren?
I was just thinking, if an angel came and told that to me, I would have to run it by my soul to make sure it was a message that resonated with me. Because it could be, I mean, it depends on the frequency
of the message.
Could
be deceptive. Right. So if you... And that's true, and that's what the scripture says, that even if an angel from heaven comes and declares any other gospel besides that which we have given, let him be accursed. Okay, that's what Paul says. So Paul wouldn't even accept an angel if he didn't have the right message. But once we have something verified by the God within, that's the most important part. Most people, though, if some angel comes and tells them something, they'll accept it without question. But the reason Jesus had this tremendous power to heal, one of the reasons, was that people saw his success and then they expected his words to materialize because they began to trust him. This person has a special power. If he says you're going to be healed, you are going to be healed. So you go to Jesus, say you lived in that time, and he says your sins are forgiven. Rise up from your bed and walk. And you think, that's the voice of God. So it has to be true. And thus, you are healed. And then after they're healed, what did he say to them? Your faith has made you whole. Not I made you whole. Not even God made you whole. But your faith. So the word is implanted in you. You have faith in that word. And when you have faith in that word is a God. You look on each word as a little God, so to speak. Now, it's not so much each individual word is a God, but each phrase that has meaning is a God. Like Jesus used the phrase, your sins are forgiven, composed of several words. But those several words are like one word. To the soul, there are just one. And many words can be combined to be one word. Like the Bible itself is symbolic of one word, which is God. So some people can read the Bible, and even though the Bible may not be 100% correct, if they think it is the word of God, well, every word in there is like God speaking to them, and they take it very seriously. So it's quite an interesting concept. Is there any questions on this? Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I listened to a radio program, and the woman talked about the power of the word, the combination of words, I am. And they really strongly emphasize everything that follows I am is the truth for your life. It becomes true. So if you say I am sick, that becomes your truth. I am, you know, I'll never say I am a negative thing, because I understand that allows that condition into my life.
It's amazing how many people, when they get as old as that, they'll say that I am an old man, you know. And that's a wrong thing to say. You should never say I am anything that you don't want to be. It's one reason Ed's still in good health, being over 80 years old. Is he tries to speak the correct words, yeah.
So I have a thought that kind of fits this. Rebecca and I have had lots of experiences with the power of God in stopping the rain or putting out wildfires or causing cars to run without necessary components, things like that. And there's this idea taught in the Doctrine and Covenants in 132 about how there's this Holy Spirit of promise, this promise sealed by the Holy Spirit that says, yep, this is true, this is how it goes. And if you read from 7 to 14, verses 7 to 14 in 132, there's concepts in there like one where God says, will I accept at your hands something that I have not appointed? And he's talking about how we can use priesthood, and we can say with our priesthood, I seal this blessing on you, or I do this thing, and God says, no, I didn't accept that, so I'm not, you're doing that on your own. Yeah. But then he says, he uses this concept multiple times in there, and he says, my word is law. And if it's not done by my word, then it's not done. And there's this Holy Spirit of promise concept. Rebecca and I, if we are asking for something and we get that witness from the Holy Spirit, it is done. We know it's done. The rain has stopped even before it stopped. It has happened. It will happen. It's a done deal. But if we don't get that, it's not happening. And this concept is repeated in various places in the scriptures, like in section 64 of the Doctrine and Covenants, where it says, whatsoever you speak by the power of the Holy Ghost is the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the power of God to salvation. And it goes on saying, this is the voice of God. And I think when we get that soul contact and that through soul contact we get that promise, it's knowing, it's an acknowledgement or a knowing that happens through soul contact, and at that point it's almost as if God made it law. The law is the rain is going to stop because God said so.
Yeah.
By his word.
Okay, well those are good points. And the next question is, what can we do to use this key that the word is God? And you think of, if an angel did come down to visit you that you knew for sure was from God, you knew this angel was from God, and he spoke to you and he told you about say, you're going to meet a mysterious person tomorrow at noon that will tell you some mystery or something like that. He tells you something. You'll believe it because why? Because you think this is from God, and God will always tell the truth. And his messengers will always tell the truth. You believe your soul because your soul tells the truth. So if we want to be able to use the word which is God, we must be the truth ourselves. In other words, when you tell your friends, your spouse, your associates that something is true, do you lie or do you tell them the truth? Are you known as a person that always tells the truth and can be trusted? And this is one of the reasons why Jesus had such tremendous power, is he always told the truth. Got him in trouble sometimes, but he always told the truth. And his disciples learned that they could trust his word because his word was true. And this is why it's important for all disciples to live their lives in such a way that every word they speak is true. And that doesn't mean you have to spill your guts on every single issue and tell every thought that's in your head, but it does mean that when you do speak, that your words are true. And if they're true, it puts you in alignment with your soul, and it gives more vibrancy and more life to the words that you speak. So the words that you speak are the word of God. And if it's the word of God, then it will materialize and it will happen and be true. Okay, any more comments on that before we wrap it up?
I have a question for all of the keys.
Okay.
What is the significance of the sequence of the keys, of the 12 keys?
Well, the first couple ones are really important. A sequence of some of them isn't as important as others. This last one is important because it leads off to other things. It's one of the keys to eternal life and the resurrection. And a higher correspondent of this key will be the last one of the keys of eternal life. And if we were to understand this key entirely, then we would have power to extend our lives as long as we wanted, or even to rejuvenate our physical body. Now, the first key was decision, which is the foundation of everything, because it tells us who and what we are. And then judgment tells us how to use what we are. And then perception tells us how to live in this world and be effective. And one of the things we didn't cover in that particular key was correction, which is an important aspect of that. When mistakes are made and perception is wrong, we must make correction. And that was an important part of the key. But then the rest of them aren't necessarily in any particular significant order. But any other comments or questions? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my favorite definitions of integrity is see what you want to create, to manifest, whatever. See what you want. Say what you'll do to get it,
yeah.
And then do what you say.
So okay, you made a good point that it's a good idea to not only think the words, but write the words down and speak the words and put the words in every possible rendering.
Right.
And yeah, that's a good point too.
Your words are very powerful.
Yeah.
So if you could just summarize, like, the goal of all of these keys in one or two sentences, like, the reason I'm giving you these keys is so that you can...
But all these keys together will help the disciple along the path. And it will help him to be a better servant. It will help him to understand himself. And it will help him to be able to perform a work upon the earth which will benefit mankind if he understands these keys. Okay? Okay, anything else? Well, it's a privilege to have given out the keys to the people, and there's always more to come. That's a great part about life and knowledge and learning, is we've never quite got it all. As long as we're in the physical body participating in this imperfect world, we've still got a few steps to take. Okay. Yeah.
So next gathering we get keys 13 through 24?
Well, you'll get some interesting information, let's put it that way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you.